All right, welcome. It's 6 o'clock, so out of respect for everyone's time, we're going to go in and get started. So we have, I'd say, roughly 45 people here in the audience, and we also have 15 people joining us online. And this is for the second neighborhood meeting regarding a proposed rezoning to accommodate a residential development known as Avila East. My name is Malini Sims, and I am a principal planner with the town of Oro Valley, and I will also be the facilitator for tonight's meeting. As the facilitator, my role is that I'm neutral, and my primary goal is to ensure that the meeting is fair, efficient, and that everyone's voice is heard. Now, to do so, I need everyone's help. So on the screens behind me and shared with those online are a list of ground rules. The key takeaway from this list is that everyone treats each other with respect as we strive towards the common goal of having a productive meeting and a civil discussion tonight. All right, so now we are scheduled to go to 7:30 this evening, and as some housekeeping items, if you are joining in person, I do ask that you silence your cell phones if you haven't yet. And also, if it is your first time at Town Hall, there are drinking fountains and a restroom just located out the doors and to your right. Now, for those participating online, everyone will be muted until it is your turn to speak. I will be giving more directions for how to participate online, but if at any time during this meeting you have trouble with Zoom, please contact Kyle Packer at 520-229-4822 for assistance. Now, for this meeting, we hope that everyone received a yellow postcard inviting them. If you did not receive a yellow postcard, please make sure you sign in at the front before you leave, or for those online, email ask@orovalleyaz.gov to be added to our notification list. I also want to encourage everyone to visit ovprojects.com, as on that site, there is a web page dedicated to this project where you can stay up to date with everything related to it. And can I have the next slide, please? Thank you. So where are we in the process? Again, this is the second neighborhood meeting. So this means that since we first met, which was online via Zoom back in November, the town has received a formal application and has been working with the applicant on code compliance. Now, it is important to establish that this request is to develop private property. The private property owner is their responsibility to seek, justify, and acquire town council approval for their proposal. It is not the town's proposal, but it is our responsibility to provide due process. So proposals such as this, as a rezoning, once the neighborhood meeting process is complete, it does require consideration by the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as town council. Thank you. Both of these are public hearings, and you will also be invited to those with the postcards, as well as signs will be posted on the site. Next slide, please. So for our agenda tonight, first we want to make sure that everyone has the same background information and understands the zoning requirements associated with the proposal. To do so, Ms. Hannah Oden, a senior planner with the town of Oro Valley, is going to walk us through that information. She is also the lead planning reviewer for this project. Second, we're going to ask the applicant, Mr. Paul Oland, who's representing the private property owner, to walk us through the site design, specifically with the changes that have been made since that first neighborhood meeting, and also to address the comments and questions that were raised during that first neighborhood meeting. This includes traffic and compatibility, for instance. And then lastly, we want to hear from all of you, and that includes everyone in person as well online. I do ask that everybody hold their questions until after the presentations. I also ask that everybody remain respectful so that those online and just in the audience as well can hear the presentations. And so with that, I'll hand it over to Ms. Oden.
All right, thank you, Ms. Sims. Can everyone hear me all right? All right, excellent. I'm going to try this one more time. No, next slide, please. All right, so I just want to get started by giving an overview of the Rancho Vistoso Planned Area Development, or you might hear me refer to it as a PAD. So an overview of that zoning, which does include the subject parcel. So the Rancho Vistoso PAD was adopted by Town Council in 1987, which did establish the existing zoning and uses for the subject parcel. So on the right-hand side of this slide, you'll see the original Rancho Vistoso map, which shows the zoning, which is just all the different colors. And at the bottom of that map, you can see a yellow star. Hopefully you can see it. And that's the subject parcel. So since 1987, the subject parcel has had the same zoning. Okay, next slide, please. So the applicant is proposing to rezone the subject parcel from commercial to high-density residential. And on the right-hand side of the slide, that's just a visual. The top image is the existing zoning, and the proposed zoning is on the bottom. And as you can see, so just kind of surrounding zoning, so the Horizons neighborhood is also zoned as high-density residential. The Safeway Shopping Center is zoned commercial, so that's the same zoning that the parcel has now. And then just behind the subject parcel to the east is open space. So there's two tables on this slide. The top table basically just gives a comparison of permitted uses under the existing commercial zoning and what would be permitted under a high-density residential zoning as far as uses. So commercial zoning, that allows things such as grocery stores, retail, restaurants, and offices. High-density residential zoning would allow for uses such as apartments, even single-family homes, attached townhomes, and offices as well. And the table on the bottom part of the slide, that is permitted development standards for the existing commercial zoning and high-density residential zoning. So there is building setbacks from adjacent homes. You can see the difference with the commercial zoning, that's 25 feet. With the proposed high-density residential zoning, it's 5 feet. Buffer yard adjacent to homes, it's 15 feet for commercial zoning and 10 feet for high-density residential zoning from the existing homes in the Horizon neighborhoods. Building height is the same for both zoning districts. It's 34 feet and 3 stories. That's the maximum. And the open space required for commercial zoning is 10% of the site area, whereas high-density residential zoning requires 30% of the site to be retained as meaningful open space. All right, next slide, please. And there actually was an approved commercial development plan for this site that was approved by Town Council in 2007. And that's what this slide shows. So there was a mix of professional offices, restaurant, and parking as well. And so actually adjacent to the existing homes in the Horizons neighborhood, just to orient yourselves, there is parking that was proposed there. So this plan was approved at 34 feet building height and 2 stories. So this just might paint a picture, kind of give you an idea of the type of development that could develop under the existing commercial zoning. So similar to the adjacent Safeway Shopping Center. All right, next slide, please. So this slide shows the original site plan on the left-hand side of the slide that was brought to the community as at the first neighborhood meeting back in November. The right side of the slide shows the revised concept plan that's being presented tonight for discussion and conversation with everyone here. So the applicant is proposing 87 single-story rental homes. They're a mix of 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units. The site plan includes recreation areas and parking. There is proposed access through the existing access point off Rancho Vistoso into the Safeway Shopping Center. And there will be a traffic signal that will be installed there. And the applicant will provide a lot more detail during their presentation. Okay, next slide, please. And I do want to make it clear that this Avila East is part of a larger proposed Avila development. There's another part of this project known as Avila West. So that is across Rancho Vistoso Boulevard, south of Woodburn. So total, both parts of the project would total 205 units. Again, it would be a mix of 1, 2, and 3 bedroom single story, both attached and detached rental units. Both parts of the project are being processed under separate applications with separate neighborhood meetings for both. Okay, next slide, please. All right, so there are key elements of staff review. So as staff, as part of our evaluation of rezoning applications, we do look review for conformance with the Your Voice, Our Future general plan. We review for compatibility with the surrounding neighborhood, look at grading and potential grading and drainage impacts, compliance with the zoning code, as well as traffic, safety, and access. Okay, next slide, please. So this is a list of the previous questions and concerns that we heard at the last meeting. And so tonight, you know, obviously questions and concerns tonight are not limited to this list, but these, just based on the last meeting and what we've heard, this, we do expect these issues to come up tonight. So I'll just go through these really quickly. So I know a big one is traffic impacts and safety, compatibility with the surrounding area in regards to buffer yards, lighting, building height and views, as well as density, potential negative impacts to property values, potential drainage impacts, potential negative impacts to wildlife movement, and just an overall concern over the change in use from commercial to residential zoning, as well as the potential for an increase in crime. So we have given this list to the applicant's representative, who will address all of these during their presentation.
All right, thank you, Ms. Oden. I'd now like to ask Mr. Olin to please walk us through the site design and what has changed since last time, as well as address the comments and questions heard during the first meeting.
Good evening. Can I get my slides up there, please? Thank you. Good evening. My name is Paul Oland. I'm representing the property owner and the developer. Before I get into the bulk of my presentation, I just want to just reiterate a couple of things I said at the first neighborhood meeting, which was a number of months ago. And that's basically a little bit of background on Next Metro and Avila. They've basically built a reputation primarily in Tucson and Phoenix, but it's really expanding nationwide because of the demand for this sort of product, this sort of lifestyle. But they've built a reputation for building high-quality, single-story rental units, and that's what we're here proposing today. Next slide, please. So just real quick, the most of the people who live in Avila, Next Metro neighborhoods can afford to purchase a home. Many of them have owned homes in the past, but they're deciding on this lifestyle for several reasons, which I'll get into later. A little more than half are over 45 years old. A little under half are single. About half of them moved directly from a traditional single family home into this lifestyle choice. About a fifth of them have children, 2.9 school age children for every 10 households. So what that means, if you distill that down, is it's actually fewer kids per household than a typical single-family neighborhood. They have 12 to 14-month leases. Most folks stay an average of 28 months. They have crime-free, drug-free contracts with all residents, which I'll get into a little bit later. They also do background checks on all residents, and no felons are allowed to live there. Next. So this is the new site plan. I don't actually have a site plan that juxtaposes this with the one that we looked at before, but I'll walk you through the main differences. The first one has to do with access. That's the primary difference. If you remember, the first site plan had a single access point right there, It had another one right here. It did not have a middle one. So working with the town and with making sure that we satisfy fire department access requirements, things like that, we've gone ahead and added, I'm going to try to, nope, that's just not going to work. We went ahead and added a third access point. So basically this western one is the main gate right there. On the previous site plan, it came in north from the Safeway Shopping Center, made a hard left, and then a hard right through the gate, which turned out to be just a difficult design for fire trucks to maneuver. This is also, I think, just a better design from an aesthetic standpoint. It creates a lot more visibility toward the leasing office and the main pool amenity. The easternmost access point down here is now emergency access only. That was previously our secondary access point because the fire department actually has a rule that two access points have to be separated by a certain amount of distance, and from the east, from the western one to the middle one wasn't enough distance. So we had our other access point back here on the east where the other green dot is. However, in working with the fire department, with the town, we've realized that that's, of course, not a great place to put residents back there in the kind of the back alley for Safeway there. There's loading activity and things like that. So we've put a secondary access point right there in the middle, which is exit only. No entry there. Residents will be able to exit there, but not enter. So entry only through the main gate there on the west, exit only on the in the middle one there, which lines up with the front aisle there in front of Safeway, and then emergency access on the back. Other than that, we've just moved a few units around here and there, probably nothing that you could probably tell comparing the two, mostly having to do with setbacks and providing different widths for sidewalk corridors and things like that. So the primary change has really been access. Next slide, please. Perfect. Thank you. This is some typical architecture. There are about 60% of the units in this development are detached two and three unit single story units. This is an example of the single bedroom, two of them attached together. So they use a lot of materials that you find throughout Rancho Vistoso. Of course, it's all compliant with the Vistoso PAD's design guidelines and the town's design guidelines from an architectural standpoint, just like all the neighborhoods surrounding here. Next slide. Thank you. This is an example of a two-bedroom model. And again, a variety of different architectural treatments here. There, as in normal traditional single-family subdivisions, there will be a mix of architectural styles available. Next Metro Avila will mix it up throughout the development so that there's a lot of variation there. But all of it will be complementary and, again, compliant with the Vistoso PAD and town's architectural design guidelines. Next slide, please. Thank you. This is just a sample interior. You can see here the idea is to get bright, open, and airy spaces. There's quality finishes throughout, stainless steel appliances, granite use, high ceilings. Next slide, please. This is another example of a bright and open space, and this is really the feel that they achieve in all the different unit types. I wanted to mention, too, at this point that a question came up about rents. And so in Rancho Vistoso, typical single-family homes like exist nearby here, the rents are typically $1 to $1.15 per square foot per month. So in other words, a 2,000 square foot house would rent for $2,000 to $2,300 a month. Obviously, a bigger house would rent for a little bit more, but that $1 to $1.15 per square foot is about what we find. In Avila, the rents actually average from $1.75 to $2.30 a square foot, which translates into rents for these units, which are smaller than surrounding single-family homes, Translates into rents of about $1,600 to $2,200 a month. So at the upper end, they're in the same range as some of the single-family rentals that are in nearby neighborhoods. But the point here is that the residents are willing to pay a premium for the smaller square footage in exchange for the amenities, the security, and the maintenance-free environment. Next slide, please. This is from another of their developments. This is an outdoor picnic area. There will be something very similar to this on site here. You can see stainless steel grills, chairs, fans, shade. Again, the way that these are so successful is to maintain a high level of resident satisfaction, and that translates into maintaining a high value of the overall development. Next slide, please. This is one of the pool areas from another of their developments. You can ignore the two-story building in the back there because that won't be, this will be all single story in this project. But again, clean, high quality amenities here that lead to higher resident satisfaction and ultimately higher rents. Next slide, please. This slide was in Ms. Oden's package as well, but I wanted to reiterate just sort of the thinking behind the Woodburn Avenue realignment. So right now, obviously, Woodburn comes in and intersects with Rancho Vistosa Boulevard there. Rancho Vistosa Boulevard comes down here, intersects with Tangerine. So if we can go to the next slide, I will explain that. Originally, the signal was planned where Woodburn and Rancho Vistosa Boulevard intersect today. So in the mid-80s, when the Rancho Vistosa PAD was conceived and approved by town council, it showed a possible proposed signal location right there at Woodburn and Rancho Vistosa Boulevard. For whatever reason, years ago when the Horizon subdivision was built, it was allowed to build about 55 feet further south than it should have been, which basically ate into the southern half, or the northern half, I'm sorry, of what would have been the extension of Woodburn. So where that signal was originally envisioned, Woodburn was going to come in, have a signal, and then there would be an entry into the commercial and residential 5U and 5, I forget what letter Horizons is, but point is the commercial shopping center and Horizons would have some sort of shared access there coming in right off of that signal. So that became an impossibility when Horizons was built further south, as I said. So in the years that have happened since then, Rancho Vistoso has continued to build out. It's nearly built out. It was originally envisioned for about 14,000 residential units, plus commercial and employment, things like that. It'll end up being about 9,500. When all is said and done. And that's because almost every single parcel in Rancho Vistoso developed at well below its planned density. Horizons is a good example. It's zoned for 18 homes per acre, three-story apartments. That's not what got built. Many of the parcels going up and down Rancho Vistoso Boulevard are zoned high density and still are today, despite the fact that there's single-family residential neighborhoods built on them. So that's why we've got about a 5,000-unit shortage, I'll call it. But the point there is that when Rancho Vistoso first came to be, Rancho Vistoso Boulevard was one of the first things they built, and they built it in three phases. And this was back in the mid-80s. I think phase three happened before 1990. But it was built out, full cross-section, four lanes, arterial road, and it was designed to accommodate 14,000 units, plus all of the commercial, employment, things like that. So what that means is that the infrastructure is oversized for the development that actually occurred. Rancho Vistosa Boulevard is able to carry a lot more traffic. It might not feel like that sometimes, but it's true. So when 5U was originally planned. 5U was the Safeway Shopping Center and this piece. It was all one commercial parcel that was part of that original plan. It was planned as one shopping center. When the developers of the Safeway Shopping Center came in a number of years ago, they only wanted to build about two-thirds of it because that's what the market would bear at that point. That was what a reasonable-sized shopping center around an anchor tenant like Safeway looked like. To go bigger would have probably required a second anchor, more shop space, and there wasn't market for it at the time, and there still isn't. So what we have is this remnant piece of 5U north of Safeway, originally planned, like I said, to be part of the overall commercial shopping center, but that's not going to happen. But as evidence for that, there's a cross-access easement established over the entire thing. This subject parcel and also the Safeway Shopping Center. There's also roadway stubouts, as you know, coming out of the Safeway Shopping Center. There are utility stubouts coming out of the Safeway Shopping Center underground to serve this property. There's storm drain interconnectivity. Point is, this piece was always envisioned to be tied into that from an access and infrastructure standpoint. I'll also point out, because I saw an email floating around that was suggesting or asking that whether or not this proposal was turning the access drive in front of Safeway into a public road, and it's not. That continues to be private. That will continue to be owned by the Safeway Shopping Center, but because of these cross-access easements that exist, the right to traverse property goes with the land. That said, the question of traffic volume has come up, and how does this proposal compare to commercial? If this were to develop as commercial, how does that compare to what's being proposed today? And this development, Avila on Avila East, is expected to generate about 620 daily trips. So that sounds like a lot. But if you compare it to what it would be if it were commercial, so what I did was I basically took the same floor area ratio, which is the ratio of leasable square footage to land area that exists in the Safeway Shopping Center, applied that to this parcel, so in other words, making it an equivalent commercial development density. So if it built out just as an extension of Safeway Shopping Center, basically, you would have almost 2,400 daily trips. So it's about a 70% less what we're proposing than what it would be if it's commercial. Now that's a realistic estimate. The commercial zoning actually would allow more because there's no floor area ratio limit in the commercial zoning. The central access drive that currently forms the northern boundary of the shopping center, the Safeway Shopping Center, that will be improved and signalized. And again, that was envisioned when it was built as being a shared drive that would serve both north and south. It wasn't envisioned as a back alley only. We have three access points, as I discussed. Also, pedestrian access. The middle access point, which lines up with the Safeway Shopping Center's access drive, we're proposing a pedestrian connection there so that people from Avila can walk down, patronize the shops down in the Safeway Shopping Center, crossing only one access drive right there. Next slide, please. This is a preliminary diagram of what the intersection would look like. So just to orient you again, this is, of course, the northern access drive on Safeway right here. So this is where the signal will be, right there. And so what will happen is a right turn lane, northbound right turn lane, will be built along Rancho Vistoso to allow people who are heading north to enter in more easily to this access point without delaying traffic that's continuing north on Rancho Vistoso. A southbound left turn lane already exists, but it'll be lengthened to give it more storage so more people can enter that left turn movement. The median break at Woodburn will be closed. So Woodburn here at Rancho Vistoso will become right in, right out only. And then this here is the extension of the access drive. So that's this alignment right here heading down to Tangerine. So basically, and there's one more. There will be a left turn lane installed right here. So northbound folks who are heading on Rancho Vistoso Boulevard can make a left at the signal and enter onto this new connection road. And also, via that connection road, they can enter Woodburn. Next slide, please. Thank you. So some concerns that we've heard. This is taken from the list that staff provided. Property values, safety, and crime. I read in one comment that there's no guarantee this project won't be owned by another company in the future and that it won't be maintained well. Valid question, of course. But just like homeowners, please pause for a commercial break. Yeah, no worries. Thank you. So just like a homeowner, I'm a homeowner. There's a lot of homeowners in this room. The home is one of our most significant assets. Usually it is our most significant asset. We are invested and we are extremely interested in that asset maintaining its value. It's no different here. It's just a larger asset. So Next Metro has told me that they have no plans to sell this. If that should happen, though, in the future, whoever buys it will be making a significant investment, and they will be incredibly incentivized to make sure it stays high quality so that it continues to be a place that attracts renters who are willing to pay strong rents. Again, formal background check is required of all residents, no felons or drugs, and that is not a restriction that you find in standard traditional single-family neighborhoods. There is a strictly enforced rental agreement, and the fact that more than 50% of the residents are female, especially young, single, professional females, is just evidence that these developments are safe. Otherwise, they wouldn't attract that demographic. Next slide, please. Question about drainage impacts. We are not allowed to change the flow volume or the velocity or the location. So in other words, wherever the stormwater is coming into the property and leaving the property today in its undeveloped state, we have to make sure and demonstrate, the drainage engineers have to demonstrate that the design after development, once there's more impervious surfaces that are causing additional runoff to occur on site, we have to demonstrate that the stormwater is going to go to the same places, in the same volumes, same speed, everything like that. So point is, we can't impede flows coming in from off-site, and we can't affect flows leaving the site either. The site has a fair amount of drainage coming in from Rancho Vistoso Boulevard onto the site. It also has a drainage channel coming in from the Horizons neighborhood that drains into the site. So we have to accept that water, deliver it through the site to where it currently goes, which is the storm drain that runs underneath Safeway. So if you can picture the entry drive there north of Safeway as you come in heading east, there are some bollards to your left and then a bunch of vegetation, and it kind of falls off. There's a slope back there with a bunch of riprap. There's a two pipes coming into there and one leaving, and that's all the water from Horizons, Rancho Vistoso Boulevard, and on site going into a storm drain that goes underneath Safeway. So again, it was all planned together, and there will be no drainage impacts off site. Next slide, please. I also saw an email asking about open space and wildlife. Rancho Vistoso, when it was envisioned, they did wildlife studies, drainage studies, soil studies, to determine where the best habitat was, where the densest vegetation was, of course, there's a strong correlation between vegetation and drainage. And about half of that 8,000 acres, so about 4,000 acres of Rancho Vistoso, was set aside on day one as habitat and open space. I'm sorry? All right. That's a little over 6 square miles. There's minimum on-site connectivity, on-site. In other words, it's a dead end. So we've got Big Wash and another development site to the east, and we are boxed in on the north, south, and west. There's certainly wildlife on-site, just like there was on-site at Horizons and Reflections and every other parcel in Rancho Vistoso. And as Ms. Oden mentioned, actually, we will have 30% on-site open space versus 10 that is required under the existing commercial zone. Next, please. Noise, lights, and views, concerns about impacts to those. Again, there's a strict contract. There's no disturbance of the peace allowed. There's an on-site manager who's quick to respond to any issues. And this is really for the benefit not only of the project's neighbors, but of its residents, because its residents, as I said, come there, they rent there, they pay a premium to be there in order to live there in a place that is quiet and safe. The central pool area, I saw a question about its potential noise impacts to folks in the Horizons neighborhood. It's about 280 feet from the nearest neighbor. It's almost a football field away. And just by comparison, the center point pool over neighborhood 10, which was approved 10 years ago maybe, that's about 130 feet away from the nearest resident, and it's a much bigger facility, and I'm not aware that that's an issue. Grading along that northern edge where the southern edge of Horizons, there's a row of homes there, and then our northern edge there, typical grade difference will be 5 to 9 feet below. So wherever the ground is in those backyards will be an average of 5 to 9 feet below that on site. So when you combine that with our one-story maximum, it's an 18-foot maximum. Some of the units are less than that. But when you combine those two, the impact is very minimal and certainly less than a potential 34-foot tall three-story building in the C1. And I've got a couple of slides next. Of course, we'll have to comply with the Oro Valley Lighting Code as well. And the lower grade helps with that too, because any lighting that is installed on site will be below grade and behind the rear walls of those homes on up in Horizons. Next slide, please. This slide here, the north cross section is a view looking north along our western edge. So this is Rancho Vistoso Boulevard on the west here. There will be a landscape buffer yard. There's already some landscaping there. We'll be installing more. And the site will be slightly higher than Rancho Vistoso Boulevard along that edge. This bottom cross section is a typical example of the elevation dynamic between Horizons. So this is a typical Horizons house. This is a typical Avila house down here. I've shown a 7-foot grade difference because, like I said, the average is 5 to 9. So I picked one right in the middle. We will have 25-foot building setback, a 15-foot buffer yard, just like commercial. But again, it'll be a much lower building. So the site impacts will be very little. In fact, the next slide shows what it would look like. So what we did was basically just add in commercial here. And this isn't a scare tactic. This is just reality. If this were developed as commercial, you'd have an up to 34-foot building, but it wouldn't be as close because typically commercial developments do have a ring road. So you'd have a ring road in the back, which is where deliveries and loading zones and things like that would happen. You would still have the 15-foot buffer yard, though, and your grade change would be probably about the same. Point is, much bigger impact under existing zoning. Next slide. Okay, this is a touchy subject, but we've heard a lot of concern about renters. Yeah. So about a fifth of the housing units in Oro Valley are actually renter-occupied. So if that's a problem, if the type of folks who rent in Oro Valley are a problem, then the whole town has a problem. I would suggest to you that that's not a problem. Oro Valley renter households have a median income of a little over 50 grand. In a villa, they tend to be higher. More than half are 50 to 100, and about a quarter are 100 to 200. So the median household income is quite a bit higher in your typical Avila neighborhood, next metro neighborhood, than in other rental areas in the town of Oro Valley. So residents, I think I mentioned at the very beginning, they're often folks who have lived in traditional neighborhoods before. They've owned in traditional neighborhoods. Half of them are moving directly from a traditional neighborhood into this. Most of the time it's to downsize, reduce maintenance on a big house. The housing market is pretty volatile right now, and a lot of people have decided just to kind of cash out of their big investment wherever they owned a home, take a step back, let things settle down a little bit, and then re-enter when things have stabilized. But most of those folks really prefer not to live in your traditional three-story garden-style apartment complex. So this is a great alternative. We've also heard from Innovation Park employers, including Northwest Hospital, that attracting employees, young professional employees, is not as easy as it should be because of the housing options available to them. And this is the sort of housing option that a lot of their employees would be looking to live in. I'll also mention, and this is a tangent, but Oro Valley's weekday population increases by about 8,000 people every day. So in other words, the nighttime population is 8,000 people less than the daytime population in during the weekdays. And we all know that there's a lot of people who commute out of Oro Valley, who live here because it's a great place to live, but then they leave Oro Valley to work. So if you take all of those people and then you add 8,000, that's how many people are commuting into Oro Valley to work, which I would suggest is at odds with the general plan's strong directive to be able to live, work, and play here. Next slide, please. We've heard about commercial viability concerns. Someone suggested, multiple people suggested, that this was originally planned for commercial. It should stay commercial so that it delivers sales tax and employment opportunities. That's just not going to happen. The PAD, again, intended to have 14,000 homes. It's got two-thirds of that. However, about 5% of the PAD was set aside for commercial use. And that's a lot. If you compare it to the overall Oro Valley General Plan, about 3.5%. The Scottsdale General Plan, even after you take out McDowell Mountain Park, which is huge, which would drive this number down, Scottsdale General Plan has about 1.5% of its land allocated for long-term commercial. So the Rancho Vistoso PAD's 5% is strong, and it is even stronger when you consider that it was meant to serve a lot more people, about a third more people. We commissioned a study from Valbridge Property Advisors, and I know folks are leery of studies that are commissioned by developers. Sure, right? Rightfully so. Thumbs up. But it's on the website, and I would encourage you to read it. Valbridge is a reputable firm. They've got a lot of really fascinating data in there, and I think their conclusions are valid regardless of who commissioned the study. So I would really encourage you to read it. Okay? So I will read a couple of findings that they had because they're important. They said it's clear office and retail uses permitted by the current zoning are not aligned with market demand. We all know that, or else they'd be developed. And there's no reason to believe that that'll change in the near future or the foreseeable future. They can't be considered viable for any site. And a good demonstration of this is Oro Valley Marketplace, over there, neighborhood 4, southwest corner of Tangerine and Oracle. Vestar made a run at developing that. That's actually zone C2. It's a stronger commercial zoning, so they've got more flexibility in terms of the users they can attract, the size of the stores they can have, basically the intensity of commercial development. Vestar built that out years ago, never did well. They had the Best Buy, the Dick's. They still have the theater and the Walmart. It's basically anchored by a theater and a Walmart right now. But a number of those anchors have left, and they'll tell you it's because there's not enough retail demand. There's not enough people shopping there, or else they would stay there. And now, of course, that development is taking a major pivot, and they're looking to bring in more customers. They're looking to put in, I think, a hotel, a couple of true apartment complexes, not rental like this, but true standard garden-style apartment complexes, because that's what the area needs in order to support even its existing commercial. Another quote from the Valbridge study, quite simply, if it can't be amended, the zoning that is, the subject sites are likely to continue to remain vacant and unproductive for many years to come. And maybe that's what everyone wants, free open space, right? It's not their property. The fact that they're zoned for commercial does not guarantee demand for commercial, and this has been directly demonstrated over the past 37 years, which is how long they've been zoned commercial. The market has demonstrated that Oro Valley has an excessive amount of commercially zoned land. Next slide, please. I think this was the last one. Impacts to existing businesses. Folks have expressed concern about notifications to existing businesses and that some of them had expressed some consternation about the impacts of this development. First of all, the notifications that the town sends out for any development application are sent to the property owners, not the tenants, because ultimately the property owners are the ones who have the significant vested interest. However, the signs that are posted on site are there for everybody else who might not have gotten an application. So I think Oro Valley does a good job of notification. The question of negative impacts to existing businesses through this rezoning does not make any sense to me. Replacing this commercial zoning with residential causes less vehicular traffic, it causes less retail competition, and more customers who can actually walk to their stores. So I'm not sure what the problem would be. If somebody can illuminate me, that'd be great, but it seems like a win for the existing businesses in the area. Next slide, please. Thank you.
Next slide, please. All right, I want to now turn the evening over to you since we've heard the staff and applicants' presentation. Again, it is the applicant's charge to justify their proposal, so most of the questions will be answered by them. However, staff is available as well to assist. Now, our goal is to get through as many comments and questions as we can this evening. And to do so, I will be taking a couple questions from those of you who are in person, and then I will be taking a couple questions from those online. Bear with me, because I will continue to toggle back and forth until we end this evening. So some quick directions for those that are online. If you are participating online, you will need to raise your computer or telephone generated hand. So to do so, if you're on a computer or a device that is similar, you will need to look for the raised hand symbol. It looks like the one that is being shared on the screen. Now this symbol may be at the top of your screen or the bottom of your screen depending on what device you are using, but once you click on that, it will raise your hand. If you are using a telephone, you will need to press *9 to raise your hand. Now, raised hands are moved to the top of the list in the order of which they were received. When I call on you, your mic will be unmuted. You will need to make sure that you're also unmuted on your device. Once you ask your question, you will be remuted so the speaker can provide an answer. Now, again, if you have any trouble with raising your hand or the Zoom functions, please contact Kyle Packer at 520-229-4822. And for those of you in person, you can raise your physical hand. And once you raise your hand, I will call on you. And Miss Jessica Hind, who's over there, she will walk over with the microphone. Please make sure you speak into the microphone so that everyone online can also hear your question. They may have the same one. Once you ask your question, again, the speaker will answer and we'll move to the next person. Now, because we have a good size amount of people in person as well as online, I do ask that you limit yourself to one question at a time. If you have more questions, that's great, but if we have time, we'll go back around. And also, the applicant and staff will be available after the meeting, so you can ask questions then, or you're always welcome to email your questions or comments to ask@oravalleyaz.gov. And I also, again, just ask that everybody remain respectful so that the audience, the speakers, as well as those online can hear the questions and the responses. Now, Ms. Oden will be writing down all the comments and questions, and these will be transcribed into a neighborhood meeting summary. This summary will be used to help formulate staff's recommendation, and it will also be forwarded to the decision makers. The neighborhood meeting summary, the presentations tonight, as well as the recording of tonight's neighborhood meeting will all be posted on ovprojects.com. So without further ado, if you have a question, please raise your hand or your virtual one, and we'll start going around the room. So, Ms. Hind, if we can start with this lady in red and then move to the gentleman with the, palm shirt. Okay.
Hi, good evening. My name is Eva Midovuce. I have quite a number of concerns, but I did write a four-page letter to the council members, and I will own up to a lot of those things that you mentioned. Those were mine. I'm going to limit myself to safety. My first question is, you did say that 40% of the, or assumptions were made, lots of assumptions. So we're assuming traffic and we're assuming that we understand what the assumptions are. However, Access E will be the one traveling out of the entryway, which also on figure 4, page 20, you have as an entry and exit. So if that's the case, then you would have more traffic. That is going to be directly to Tangerine. However, my question is Safeway aware? Have they agreed that having 40%, it's no longer an aisle, it's a through traffic. Have they seen a throughway? Yes, a through street. Have they seen the people who are going to be affected? The people from the physical therapy who go with their walkers? The people who, the children who are crossing to the tutoring center? And us as senior citizens who need a little more time, or families with children who need time to cross? As it is, it's already pretty congested. So I'm wondering, did they agree with this? Because we'd like to know, that's our neighborhood store. Did they agree that putting pedestrians in danger is what they want? As a PR situation, that's very negative. Negative for Safeway, negative for the businesses, negative for the city. Ultimately, if somebody gets hurt or worse, killed while trying to buy groceries. And for me, as a person who retired here as a university professor, I want to make everyone aware that we are aware, because if that happens, I don't want that writing on me that I didn't make that, this information, you know, or the consequences aware. So basically, is Safeway here? Did they agree to this?
Is Safeway aware of this, Mr. Olin?
Safeway is aware of this. They're entirely aware of this. They're also aware that this will generate less traffic running through the shopping center than it would if it were commercial.
When, these are assumptions, right?
No, it will generate less
Please
traffic.
Please let him answer. All right, and we're thank you. We're now going to go over to this gentleman.
Well, first of all, this is not a NIMBY issue for me. It's not a not in my backyard issue. I'm probably one of the newest owners in this room. My wife and I just bought over here less than 4 months ago.
What's your name, sir?
Greg James.
Thanks.
We do our due diligence. And when we were looking at this property, one of the first things I asked is, what's that property? And they said, it's zoned commercial. I said, zoned commercial, I can deal with it. Office buildings, dental things, everything else. So I did my due diligence. So it's not a not in my backyard issue. What I'm looking at is I'm dealing with what I was told. If this plan doesn't work, what I'm here today is not to try to negotiate this plan. I don't want this plan. I want commercial property. I want to play by the rules of the game when I came in here. I think by this development, collectively here as residents, we will lose more money in our equity of our properties than it costs to buy and develop this piece of land. Okay? Now, to me, my whole life was economic and workforce development. Commercial property is a cash cow for the city. My understanding is the only benefit in this development is to the developer. Okay, I'm really sorry that the landowner bought a pig in a poke, and he's got a piece of property that he really can't do anything with. That's not my problem. What I would like to know from you, and you gave a great presentation, honestly, if I was looking to rent a place there, but the impact on us, please explain to me what our impact is from your development, because I can explain a lot of impact from a commercial that would benefit me. It brings in jobs. It brings in money to the coffers to this city. I don't see that with this development. What I see is blight, because my understanding is this developer, within 5 years of owning the property, they dump them to an out-of-state owner. Okay, if that's your track record, I don't want any part of it. The same developer, not very far away from here, built a commercial property because there was a lack of commercial property. Now you're looking at taking a commercial property and turning it into a high-density residential. You're running traffic through a shopping center behind a store in an alley. This doesn't if it made sense and I came in here and it was to develop high residential, I bought the property based on what I knew. Again, I think we are going to be hurt, and the only ones that are going to make out here are the developers, and you're sacrificing us for a bunch of renters, and that's my biggest problem.
Okay, and sir, please no clapping so that everybody can hear. Sorry, did you have a question in there, though, for Mr. Olin?
I want to know what you consider the benefit to us. You've already talked about the benefits to the people that rent there.
Sure.
You've not addressed any of the benefits to us as the people who own the property around here that are going to be the most negatively impacted. I'd like to hear it from you.
So, Mr. Olin, can you go through some of the benefits to the surrounding neighbors, please?
Sure. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is here, as I've explained, and as you know, the property is zoned commercially, right, which carries certain opportunities and potential impacts. The chances that it's going to develop commercially are slim to none, right?
Is that my problem?
No, it's not. I'm allowed to ask. So the benefit here is hard to quantify for the immediate neighbors. I'll grant you that because I know, because I get it, right? It's open space to you. It is.
Okay, let's stop the back and forth, sorry, but we want to, if you could please wrap up your answer, and then I'll get to the online people.
It's effectively open space because the potential for it to be developed under existing zoning is zero, essentially zero. So for all intents and purposes, it's open space in perpetuity. So the decision that needs to be made by Oro Valley is what's best for Oro Valley. The immediate neighbors of any development are always impacted. And whether it's commercial or residential, I think if I were in here, it were zoned residential, and I were saying I want to build commercial, I'd hear about the same thing, right? So any change can be put in that same slot. And right now, the question is, what's better for the community, for that piece to remain open space and unproductive, or to put in a very reasonable transitional use, one story that solves some traffic problems.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Olin. I'm going to do some online speakers now, so if we can get Tony Riggs unmuted. And Mr. Riggs, you will have to unmute on your end, but please feel free to speak as soon as you're unmuted.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just have one question. Why was the traffic study performed during the pandemic time frame when traffic in Oro Valley, and particularly that intersection, was at its lightest? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Riggs. So, Mr. Olin, why can you explain the timing of the traffic study and if it was?
Sure. So traffic volumes did admittedly drop during the pandemic. They are recovering. My understanding is that the traffic engineer and the town have agreed on a multiplier to add to get it back up to what it would be, plus a little bit of a growth factor. And that's true. I'm getting a nod.
Thank you, Mr. Olin. And Steve Jam, can we get Steve Jam unmuted, please?
Hello. Thank you so much for taking some time. I do have several pages of comments here, all negative. We do not want this development crammed down our throats. I couldn't agree more with the gentleman that just bought a house here 4 months ago. I'm so sorry that you got hosed here by these developers. It's not our responsibility to ensure that those speculators make a profit on that property, as previously mentioned. This gentleman at the last meeting claimed that commercial is not viable and ignored that a brand new restaurant had just opened in the Safeway development that's already there. So to claim that there's no need for more commercial space is ridiculous. And then for him to say, hey, we're going to increase commercial foot traffic by putting all of these, cramming all of these people in this tiny space is specious at best. This guy's obviously just in the pockets of the developers. But my direct question that I would like you to answer this time, unlike at the last meeting, was if your product is so fantastic, why can't you put it in a place which is already zoned and ready for it?
Thank you, Mr. Jam. Oh, please, folks, if we can not clap, if you agree, you can wave, and they will see you online as well. Mr. Olin, if you could please respond to the location of your proposed development and if you looked at other locations with existing zoning rights.
Sure. Okay, well, a couple things. I heard the respectful speaker say two things, basically, that I need to respond to. The first one was the fact that there's a restaurant built nearby, and that invalidates my claim of not enough commercial demand to justify development of this property under the existing zoning. The fact that an existing commercial shopping center has spaces that are occupied and vacated and occupied and vacated is the way those things work. To build a new shopping center creates a whole lot of investment, and there's just not enough demand to drive that kind of investment. The retail market is so tight, and it's expected to continue to be tight because, you know, when this was zoned commercial years and years ago, there was no Amazon, there was no e-commerce. One of the things that COVID did was it just ramped up the amount of stuff, the amount of shopping that folks do online. And we all know that there's been a retail fallout. Retailers and restaurants have both had a really hard time the last few years. They are, some of them are recovering, some of them didn't make it. But the bottom line is there's plenty of available space in existing shopping centers. The Oro Valley Marketplace is a perfect example. There's space available across the street on the southwest corner of this same intersection that's been vacant since it was built years ago. The next question he asked, why not build where it is zoned? And the fact of the matter is, there's really not a lot of options in Oro Valley. Oro Valley's zoning, most of the zoned parcels that would allow for development like this have been used. Most of them have been used by single-family development, single-family residential. So the answer to the question is that there's really no parcels. That's why we're asking for rezoning.
All Right. Thank you, Mr. Olin. And so I know the gentleman in the red hat had a question. So, no? Did you have a question earlier? No. Okay. We'll go to this gentleman here. Apologies.
My name is Hank Blishars, and I live up the street from this proposal, so for me, this is the proverbial foot in the door, okay? Because you have another project that you want to do up the street, okay? Now, I want to honestly say that I heard about your Motel 6 the first time, and this is no improvement, okay? I see the engineer has done some work here in terms of putting in a dog leg or two for traffic and a rotary. It's nice. But bottom line is, I still don't think it fits in this community. Although you've done a great job in going through the academics of it all, and I applaud you for that. That's what you're getting paid for. All right? But from a community point of view, I don't see this as an asset whatsoever. All I see it is a low-level apartment complex with all the things that could happen right to it as time goes on. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think...
Also, if you're going to have a Q&A like this, you've got to show what the objections were so people can see and react to what was said and what they need to say. You know, this is too much of an open forum Q&A. You know, they have all the power. We don't. You know, all we can do is express our concerns. We don't have the specifics because it's not in front of us. So if you do this, hard copy it, send it out so people can come back in and they can comment appropriately. Okay?
Yeah, thank you for the feedback. And this lady right here, please.
My name's Joyce. I back up to Woodburn. I have three questions, but the first one is, you mentioned a new signal light to be right at the end of Woodburn. Well, that's less than 300 feet from the stoplight over at Tangerine Road in Rancho Vistoso. So see, somebody's going to be stopped at that red light, and then they're going to be coming off of Tangerine Road, and they're going to be wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Oh, excuse me. But, I mean, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? There's been a lot of heavy accidents in that area. How can you do that? How can you put a stoplight that close together? The other quick question was, are you going to be under the same HOA as us? And who's going to pay those HOA fees? And I don't care for that access into that alley along by Safeway.
Thank you.
That's very dangerous, as the other lady mentioned.
Mr. Olin, can you respond to the location of the traffic signal, the HOA fees, and the safety?
Sure. So the location of the traffic signal, you're right, it is fairly close to the existing one. No question there. Fact of the matter is there's an existing safety issue, and we've been working with the town to try and figure out, because we have the benefit of having both of these properties in play, and I know benefit is subjective, right? I mean, everybody here is saying that's not a benefit. But the fact is we've got both of these in play with the same developer, which puts us in a unique situation, puts the town in a unique situation to be able to affect some larger transportation changes to deal with the existing safety issue there at Woodburn and Vistoso Boulevard. So the realignment that's shown on the site plan is the result of that work with the town, trying to figure out a way that that will be safer, it will allow traffic to flow better, and it'll all have to be engineered and demonstrated out in order for it to move forward. But the proximity of the two signals and all the other road changes there, improvements to that, central access there to the Safeway overall parcel. It all has to work together from an engineering standpoint and be demonstrated to be safer. And that's...
I don't
see that. And then can you answer the question about the HOA fees?
Sure. I believe the commercial parcels in the Vistoso PAD are all part of the master HOA. They all pay dues. It'll still be part of the master HOA.
Okay, so.
Every development in Vistoso is part of that master and subject to fees.
All right, and do you want to speak, Mr. Kiesler? So this is our town engineer, Paul Kiesler.
And she's not going to let me have the mic.
All right, so.
There we go.
I have a loud voice, yes. So anyways, I wanted to clear up a couple misconceptions because I've seen them in a couple of the emails. So this is not an endorsement for this project whatsoever, but I do want to mention that some of the requirements, and you mentioned the closeness of the signals. So as we were approached by this development, town staff, my office, me in particular, we've been battling the poor traffic configuration out there for years. You know, one of the main things that we were able to do in recent time is get Ashley Tangerine into the town as a town right-of-way, and then we were able to put that reliever in the Safeway to be able to help try to mitigate the amount of, honestly, horrific accidents that have been happening out of that northern access and at the U-turn in and at the U-turn on Woodburn. So there's been a lot out there. So the philosophy of this, and this was the requirement that the town put on the developer, was to create a signalized intersection. Now, you can't have a signal at Woodburn and a signal at Safeway. Too close, it just really wouldn't work. The space wasn't there to be able to handle the traffic. Now, there's a lot of traffic there, particularly in the mornings and mid-afternoon because of Painted Sky. There's a lot of bus traffic. There's a lot of parents dropping off kids. And there's a lot of a morning rush hour. So it's a very, very congested and very dangerous area. And I'm speaking to the choir. Anybody who lives out there knows exactly what I'm talking about. This new signal is approximately 800 feet from the Tangerine signal. So to put that in perspective, if you're familiar with First and Main, which is where Home Depot is, so the signal on Oracle and the signal where Fry's and Home Depot are, that's approximately 800 feet. That's the spacing that we're talking about. And that spacing can handle a good amount of traffic. As Mr. Olin mentioned, the devil's in the details. They've given us a traffic impact analysis. They worked out some of the engineering. We still have some comments, but now we're into details. So what I want to say is that, again, not as an endorsement for this project. That's between Mr. Olin and, of course, the residents. But it allows an opportunity where the town did not have one before. And the reason the town didn't have an opportunity before is because the solution involves private property. And we were never able to effectuate a solution out there. And we've actually had the money sitting in our own coffers for quite some time. We have $750,000 in our own budget that has been slated for this for many years. But again, we've never been able to solve this until we were able to come up with a public partner private or partnership to be able to have everybody work together, realignment of Woodburn, one main intersection, which will be the Safeway Northern Access, signalize it. It makes that one little dogleg of Woodburn more of a private street for that one development that is farthest east on Woodburn. So you come right in, right out onto Rancho Vistosa right there, but no lefts in at Woodburn. Anyways, I just wanted to give that to the crowd here and to the audience online that was one of the things that the staff pushed the developer for, and the developer complied. Because, again, we're looking for a community solution for what is a traffic problem we've been fighting for some time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Kiesler. So now I'm going to take a few questions online, but then we're going to go to the gentleman with the tan shirt on, and then we'll come over to you, ma'am. So if we can, we'll go with Robert Sherman, and then Patty Kelly, you will be next. So if we can have Robert Sherman unmuted, and you can go ahead and speak, Mr. Sherman.
Good evening. I have a comment to make, and I don't know if this has been brought up before, and if it has, I apologize. But with any new construction, there's a risk of the valley fever fungus, which can affect children, seniors, immune-compromised people, pregnant women, dogs, and cats. So this is another issue that we have to deal with, and I would imagine the construction is going to go on for quite a long time. And as far as I know, the fungus lies dormant in the soil for many years, and once there's construction, then the fungus spores are airborne. So it can also be a health issue. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Olin, can you talk about construction sure. and airborne?
Sure. Totally valid concern, and that is that holds with every development parcel, and that's the primary reason why Oro Valley has dust control ordinances that they watch closely. Hours of operation, water trucks, other construction methods to cut down on the dust are all employed. And like I said, Oro Valley watches those pretty carefully. But that, again, that's the case with every parcel, including the neighborhoods and the Safeway that are on the screen right now.
Thank you. And can we please get Patty Kelly unmuted?
Okay, this is Mike. This is Patty's husband. Patty's controlling the computer. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you, Mike.
All right, good. You know, my neighbors have skillfully touched on pretty much most of the stuff I was going to bring up, so I think I'm just going to settle on traffic here. The traffic generated by, you know, 90 rentals is going to be horrific going through an existing alley, and especially in the front of that store, which is basically a ramp that grades up to the front doors that, you know, people on motorized scooters, you know, handicapped people ride up on. I can just see how that all these pedestrians are going to back up, not to mention, Paul, you said yourself, all these renters are going to be, a lot of them are going to be walking at all times of the day to shop. Let's add those pedestrians into the mix that are going to get run over by these cars. You said 620 daily trips a day for the renters. Does that include Ubers and Grubhub and UPS? And all the deliveries that are going to be, you know, dropped off daily, the average person probably gets 3 deliveries a day in this neighborhood. So that's going to double your trips per day, vehicles. It's ill-conceived for the amount of traffic it's going to generate. And it's really not our problem that it's zoned commercial and it won't sell. For me, it's a nature buffer. That's why we bought this house. It was like that. It's my guarantee that it's going to stay like that. You know, the fact that your board of directors is going to put money in their pockets. Sorry, pal. That's, you know, that's life. That's kind of the way it goes. The economy is the way it's going to be. And City of Oro Valley is doing just fine. They're doing just fine. Hey, that's all I got.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. So, Mr. Oland, if you could please respond to the traffic counts.
Sure. Real quick, though, Mike, did you say nature bunker?
Bosk, I believe. He's muted. He won't be able to
speak. Okay. Yeah. I'd never heard that. The traffic, the question about deliveries. So the way these traffic daily trip estimates are created, there's nationwide accepted standards in the traffic engineering discipline that basically list out all kinds of uses and variations of uses and things like that. And it's based on actual developments around the country. And so the number of trips assigned to this development is based on the number of units, but it's not just the residents. It's the typical number of trips that number of units of this type of development generates in other similar ones. So it would include things like deliveries.
Thank you, Mr. Olin. So now we're going to go to the gentleman with the glasses right there.
Thank you. I don't believe that Avelia's variance request has been justified, and the onus is on them to do that justification. They use a lot of misleading and questionable statements. PowerPoint with bullets and stuff are very professional. And yet, when you make statements that commercial zoning is not viable based on the premise that these properties have not been developed, and yet on the Town of Oro Valley's website, there's a Town of Oro Valley apartment study dated 2020 that shows there's 95.5 vacant acres available for apartment. There's a lot of other comments that are made. One gentleman earlier talked about the Uber and stuff. What about the prospective residents in addition to the actual residents? The gentleman up here said the commercial development will never happen, and that's why we should allow them to develop this and add another 600-plus trips a day, which, again, has been brought into question. They talk about there being residential underdevelopment in the town of Oral Valley, and I don't think you could get a single person in this audience to agree with that comment. So all along, I don't believe there's been any justification for their request. So my question is, how do you justify it with all these false and misleading, you know, statements and saying, well, the details are, the devil is in the details and we'll work it out? Talk to me about the realignment of Woodburn and how that's going to affect anybody who has property along Woodburn.
What was your name, sir?
Frank Mayfield.
All right, thank you, sir. So, Mr. Olin, if you could talk about the realignment of Woodburn.
Sure. But first, I would say that I didn't say anything inaccurate today, Frank. I said nothing inaccurate today. I didn't say anything false. And if you took it as misleading, that's because you probably didn't understand what I was saying. So, no, for example, the residential underdevelopment, that's from a commercial standpoint. From a commercial retail standpoint, it is underdeveloped. The PAD planned a certain number of homes, and what was an originally reasonable amount of commercial. The PAD didn't develop at that level, so from a retail standpoint, it's underdeveloped. That's the reason why Neighborhood 4, the marketplace, didn't work.
All right, just one moment, sir. Are you finished with your response, Mr. Olin? There was also the alignment of Woodburn.
We talked about that already.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Before we go back to you, sir, I do want to allow this lady to please have her question asked and get everybody with the first questions, and then we'll definitely come back.
I have my question for the man that was talking about the signal. Sure. And basically, I have to come down Woodburn. She keeps coming. And there's many a time when I'll sit behind four or five cars waiting to get out just from the traffic that's already there. Now we have that other traffic signal at Aerosmith. That's about the only time you can get out. And when they let them go, it's like the horse races. So we have asked for years to have a traffic signal at Safeway, but we couldn't have one because it was too close to Tangerine. Because there have been numerous accidents there, people killed. It's very unsafe. They shouldn't even be allowed to turn left out of there. So that's my concern. I'm putting a signal there. It's all wonderful and dandy, but we're not going to be able to get out of Woodburn. And there's a lot of homes and developments up that come down that road in the morning.
Right. So the signal will create gaps in the road. It'll create gaps in the traffic. And mathematically, we've run the simulations, or not we, their engineer has run the simulations, and we've checked it. The simulations will actually create a better level of service. So what level of service is, just to boil it down to layman's terms, is how long you have to wait to do something. So the longer you sit at, say, a stop sign, the lower the level of service is. The more apt, and this is just a statistical fact, the more apt you are to make a bad decision. That is what's historically happened over in the Safeway area, is that the traffic leaving Safeway historically has made a lot of bad decisions making that left turn out. Now, you bring up a good point. Well, why not just eliminate that left turn? Right, right. Well, we created, before we had the reliever on Tangerine, which again, I've been here 17 years for the town, and I've been chasing after that for a long, long time. prior to that, we looked at what would happen. Well, if we closed off that left turn, folks are going to go out, and they're going to make a U-turn at Woodburn, which is the most dangerous of all traffic movements that you can do at an uncontrolled median break, because there's no signal there. There's no signal there because the Horizons neighborhood was built down in that four-leg. It went away. We put a three-leg signal in there, but that doesn't solve this. That doesn't solve this issue because, let me fast forward to now, we put in the reliever for Tangerine. So everybody knows you can get out onto Tangerine and you can head parts west, you can head parts south. You can do all of those actions you couldn't do before. I want to say it was 6 months ago, somebody got hammered making that left turn out of Safeway because people are still making it.
I think the concern is the traffic is going to back up so far to Woodburn that we won't be able to get out off.
No, like I mentioned, this traffic engineer right here has modeled that. And those models are relatively accurate of how we time all of our signals throughout town. Oro Valley does not have, outside of this one area, we do not have congestion issues throughout our town. We're not a lot different than anybody else, but we're able to model and keep our traffic flowing. This is for safety and for safety purposes only that we made those requests for this type of rearrangement. Because when the model is working and when the numbers come through, this configuration has a better level of service, which means it has less statistical ability or statistical propensity for people to make bad decisions, which is, at the end of the day, that's what an accident generally ends up being. If there's sight distance, if there's not some other mitigating factor, it's a bad decision. So again, I, as a town engineer, I endorse this design as far as this rearrangement because it's better than what we have today by a lot.
There's one thing, that big tree, beautiful in the middle of the street,
mm-hmm.
but it's a blind spot.
And as we work through this, it may have to go.
Thank you. And so out of respect for everybody's time, I do want to let you know it is nearing 7:30. But if everybody's okay with it, we're going to continue to go till 8 because there are still a fair amount of questions. So I do see the four of you over here, but for one moment, we're going to go to this side of the room, and then we'll come right back over to you. So if you can get this gentleman right here and the gentleman right behind him right after, and we'll come right back to you, ma'am.
Okay, you hold it. Hi, my name is Mark Nelson, and I live in Horizons. And it's probably going to be addressed to the traffic study again. And what I am concerned about, and it may have already been addressed, is I look at a comparison of the double traffic signal from Tangerine and also the proposed traffic signal in the Safeway Shopping Center as what happens when you have the same amount of distance as Grant and the freeway, where I travel a lot. My concern is it's a 45-mile-an-hour zone on both directions. Coming up from First Avenue, especially during the rush hour when people tend to have most of the accidents, is it possible for the traffic signal to lock in all of the people in the double red light and people are bled out into the intersection because they tried to be the last car to get in and they're stuck because it's a red light, creating a 45-mile-an-hour zone that could potentially T-bone that car if they're going in? Has that study been done? Because none of the traffic studies that I read from the proposal are anticipating incident statistics. It's in the past. We had so many in the past. What's the projection for the future with higher density?
Sure. If I may, so we model this for a working flow. I think you're mentioning if there's an accident that causes a stoppage of traffic and a backing up of traffic, or are you talking about just under just regular use? Sure. So, yeah, that was actually modeled and studied, and what was done with it is the actual queuing distance for the turn lanes. So what we've required them to do is look at those turn lanes, and there is a queuing that goes in. There is one spot where the queuing doesn't work, and that's actually the eastbound on Tangerine, which is an existing problem that we have. At some point in the future, I imagine we're going to have to widen the Tangerine intersection to create dual lefts there. because there isn't enough space to have all that queuing get into the left turn to head north up Rancho Vistoso. And that's without this development. That's under today's situation. And even when the light goes in, it's going to be timed as such, and it works with the light on first, that it's going to be able to clear the queue. And that's even with the morning traffic. That's with all those school buses. And the way that works is that there's a left turn ahead of it to go onto, I believe, Avila Drive. Is that the name of it? So there's going to be two points of where that traffic can start to turn and go north. And the way that works in totality is it spreads out the traffic. So what we're doing is decentralizing the traffic. That's what this design does. Again, I don't want to give any impression that I'm endorsing this, but this configuration behind me that you see on the screen, the town did have a hand in, because, again, it decentralizes, it decreases the amount of wait time, which increases your level of service, which all translates to making it safer than it is today. And that's my goal as your town engineer, is when we have an opportunity, we seize that opportunity to do whatever we can to make things better for the town. And again, that's what this configuration represents.
All right, thank you, Mr. Kiesler. If we can go to the gentleman with the ball cap on, and then we're going to take another online comment from Linda Barney. So,
sir? My name is Mark. So basically, you made this comparison of residential versus commercial, but commercial's not happening. So basically, it's residential versus nothing. So it's either adding 500 cars and traffic from orders, deliveries, or adding zero. So your whole comparison about office buildings and commercial is just not happening. But my main point is what's the impact on water, drinking water, showers, water consumption, with adding that many new units?
Mr. Olin, what's the impact on water?
Sure. Well, I don't have those calculations with me. I'm sorry, but it is not a big difference in terms of water, and Oro Valley Water has been investing in renewable resources, and they do have a 100-year supply that they've demonstrated with the state, and so they've said they can serve this development. They've also said they can serve it if it were commercial, and to your point about the comparison. you're right. It is open space effectively versus what we're proposing. No one's denying that. But it's not open space and nothing. It's open space that's not productive for the town. The town has a general plan that lays out what it thinks would be appropriate uses for every piece of land in the town. Including developed ones for potential redevelopment someday.
But that's our choice.
Sir, please, please let him finish responding. Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not making a decision. I'm asking for something. So that's the point. Is that what it comes down to here? What it'll come down to at the town council level is what does the town council think is best for the town, like he and I talked about earlier. Is it best for it to stay open space, to have an immediate benefit to the immediate neighbors, or is it better for it to become a transitional residential use that will have a benefit to the commercial establishments around it and provide another housing opportunity? That's the balance.
Thank you, Mr.
Sure. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to have to ask to wait for the microphone to speak because nobody online can hear you right now. So let me Thank you, though, for your comments. And I would like to ask that Linda Barney please be unmuted. And we'll definitely come back around to folks if you have additional comments or questions. But I do want to make sure everybody who hasn't had a chance to speak gets one. So, Ms. Barney, if you could go ahead and ask your question or comment.
Sure, I have a few comments. First of all, the traffic issue is so obvious to everybody in this area and that's dealing with this meeting. It just absolutely makes no sense to be passing an apartment complex traffic through a private shopping center and an alleyway in front of a store. That is just so very obvious. It's just obvious to everybody. Second comment is it was said that the stores over at the Oro Valley Marketplace are closing because of lack of use. Best Buy closed because the rents went up. Somebody new bought the facility in 2019. They raised the rent so high that Best Buy ended up having to pull out because of that. Third point, Avila's apartment management is done by a company called MEB Management. They have a D-plus rating by customers and others involved. Their management is very poor. There's a lot of unhappy customers in the Avila apartments. Another point is that the new graphic shows that the pool has been taken out. And it's got some green space on there. And it says that there's a management office in that green space, but there's no building sitting there. So I'm not sure how that's going to fill in. I know the other Avila apartments in the Tucson area, the management offices have been closing. So it was mentioned that there would be on-site management for all the apartment dwellers there. That's not the case anymore with these Avila apartments. People are having to deal with management being in the area parts of Friday and parts of Saturday, and there's a lot of frustration with that because there is no more on-site management. My last point is parking. The Avila website state that there's one parking spot per apartment. I think there are very few people who only have one vehicle per apartment, especially if there are families living there. And I am afraid the excess parking or excess vehicles are going to end up in the shopping center. And is the shopping center aware that there aren't going to be enough parking spaces and their spaces might be filled up by apartment dwellers? And that's everything.
Thank you, Ms. Barney. So, Mr. Oland, will you please respond about the pool and clubhouse as well as the parking? And
sure. So Best Buy left because rents went up, and they wouldn't have left if it was a good retail market. Otherwise, the increased rents would have been able to support it. So there's a difference. So Avila is a brand that started in Tucson a number of years ago. It was the first of its kind in the nation. And like I said, it's been wildly successful in terms of attracting people to come and pay premium rents for a safe, quiet, amenitized atmosphere. So
hold your questions.
Next Metro is a different company that purchased the Avila brand not too long ago. They've got a much better track record. The original Avila was a test. It was a new market segment that was being tried out. It was proven to be, in high demand, but it did have its kinks, and Avila did have its kinks. So if you look around at the Avila developments in Tucson, they're not Next Metro developments. Next Metro has some developments up in Phoenix that are Avila branded because they took the concept and upgraded it. They upgraded all of the construction and amenities, rents, management, everything. So I just want to make that distinction. There is a pool proposed. I know on one of these graphics it showed a green space, but that's a placeholder. And then there's also the leasing office, management offices there on site as well. Again, that's within that central area. And then the parking question, Oro Valley has new parking requirements for developments like this that require, I believe, 1.5 spaces for a one bedroom, 1.75 spaces for a two, and 2 spaces for a three bedroom. And there's also additional parking for rec areas and guests. So this one will meet those new requirements, which are well above one space per unit. So there won't be a shortage on site.
Thank you, Mr. Olin. And we are, if I can please get Steve Odenkirk unmuted.
Good evening.
Thank you.
I have only one question relative to the traffic again, and it has to do with the proposed light that would go in at the north end of the center. Can you explain, either the traffic engineer or Mr. Olin, why we can't simply take the $750,000 the town has had allocated for some time and put the light in with the existing infrastructure around it, rather than being forced to have the Avila Drive installed to make it a four-way stop rather than a three-way? Can't you simply have people going north and south on Vistoso be stopped, and then people exiting the shopping center going both left and right? Why does the other road have to be installed? Thank you.
Sure. I'm Paul Kiesler. I'm the town engineer, so I'll take that one on. It's the geometric configuration of the area. The geometric configuration isn't conducive for putting a light at one or the other. So if you put a light at Woodburn, what you do is the exiting traffic out of Safeway will be exiting into the functional area of that light. That's another bad thing that happens when you have lights that are too close to another major drive. So that won't work. If you put the light at Safeway, just put it at the northern entrance at Safeway, the issue that we have is that right beyond it is Woodburn, where we have a tremendous amount of traffic that goes down Woodburn for the school. We still have to support the school. So what we have to have is we have to have an all-inclusive solution that addresses Safeway traffic, addresses Rancho Vistoso traffic, and addresses the school traffic all at the same time. Really, the only way to do that was what we call a realignment of Woodburn. You know, in a perfect world, I would love to just take that swoop of Woodburn and move it on south and have it line straight up to the Safeway northern entrance. And that would be my perfect world, but I have to deal with the reality of public and private land ownership. The problem is the people to the east that own this private land, that's not conducive for them and their property values on that land. So I don't have that ability. So again, what I mentioned behind me, it's not the best that you could possibly ever do as far as that traffic configuration, but it's the best that we can do given the constraints that we have between public and private ownership of all that land in the area. So that's why. I hope I answered your question.
Thank you, Mr. Kiesler. All right, we're going to get these two folks over here, and then ma'am will come right over to you.
Yeah, my question is about water. And I know one other gentleman over here talked about water, but we're in a water crisis, and there's so many problems with water. I know you said there's 100 years of water that we have, but the new homes that are being built, anything new that's built, should have water harvesting or solar or something, because we're in a crisis and we can't function. And what are we leaving for our children, grandchildren? We're leaving them a desert, a nothing. And we're not thinking about that. We should be thinking about sustainability and not growth all the time. We have to sustain what we have before. And with regard to, why didn't we put a stoplight in before without having to have a development?
Mr. Olin, do you have additional comments regarding the water supply and then the stop sign question, please?
I mean, that's a much bigger philosophical question.
It's not philosophical.
Ma'am,
we are
hold
going,
on.
We are going to be
please
meeting
let him respond.
The town's building codes with regard to some level of green building. It's not, this market segment doesn't work with LEED certification and things like that. In a place like Oro Valley, the rents aren't strong enough. I didn't quite understand the question about the signal. Why don't we just build a signal with no
Mr. Kiesler?
The easy answer for the signal is that we can't just install a signal. You know, you build a road, you want to install a signal right away for some future use. You actually have to put a signal in when it's warranted.
Isn't it warranted
It is. As I mentioned, it
people
yes.
have trouble crossing the streets and
ma'am,
children.
Ma'am.
And I live on Sterling Avenue.
I understand.
And if you're planning on putting another development there, I will never be able to get out of my street.
As I mentioned, please we've looked at the signal.
Ma'am.
You're saying, so I'm sorry.
All right. Well.
Ma'am. Please let him answer for
I
the rest.
Want him to answer me.
Okay. Then let's move on, sir. Well, if you have a question.
Why wasn't this diagram put up in the beginning when he started talking about this? Apparently, this is a second development. So they're going to try to put this in, and then they're going to try to push this in. Sure. So I think this whole thing tonight has been very misleading because he only talked about that one part of the project. He didn't talk about the succeeding part of the project.
Sure.
There's a very simple way to deal with all this traffic. Quit building. Quit all these developments. Just stop it. It's just destroying the whole. It's destroying the whole town. The traffic is.
We have enough.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. I do want to mention that the west side of the development shown on the screen, there will be a neighborhood meeting for that one. So they are shown together, but there are two separate applications, and there will be another neighborhood meeting for that side, as Ms. Oden has stated during her presentation. All right, so now I want to head over to this lady and then the lady behind her, please.
My question is, has anybody investigated where the east is going to be? You said it was going to be an open concept and that it wasn't very good for anything. We have a tarantula migration here. And when I say that, it's tens of hundreds of tarantulas that go from the west complex across the street through the open space on the east. And if anyone has lived here long enough, they have seen it. I hope that was part of your investigating.
There's Mr. Owen, do you have any
tarantulas?
All right, if we...
The tarantula migration is sure. phenomenal.
Thank you for the comments. And then, ma'am, if you have a question.
Thank you. My name is Monica Nelson. I would just like to echo a comment that was made earlier regarding the proposed use of the driveway on the north side of the Safeway Shopping Center, which really serves now as a drop-off place for this food and supplies for the restaurants, as well as a way for people to get in and out of the Safeway Shopping Center. Excuse me. It is the only way those of us who live north on Rancho Vistoso Boulevard can enter the Safeway Shopping Center. So it concerns me that we're talking about using that. But more importantly, and this is just a comment, and my question, Mr. Kiesler, is for you. What I find I can't think of a better way. Completely unbelievable is that we would consider the driveway space in the front of the Safeway as an exit for the people who are going to live in that shopping center. As it's been said earlier, children, adults, families, elderly people, handicapped people, and so on, use that to get back and forth between the shops there associated with and beside the Safeway store. So that just is, I was trying to describe it to my son today who used to live here. He said, Mom, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So just to share that. My question, though, Mr. Kiesler, my husband brought up the question about the proposed signal and the adjacent signal at Tangerine. My question is related to kind of halfway between those two. There is another entranceway to the Safeway store for northbound traffic on Rancho Vistoso Boulevard. Can we guarantee that when we stop traffic for people to get off of Woodburn, if we readjust that, and to get out of driveway, for lack of a better term, that we will not back up traffic there so that it will be blocking people from being able to enter what is the entrance beside the gas station? That's about halfway between the two that you talked about earlier. Thank you.
Sure. I heard about four questions or four statements in there. All right. So the backup on the traffic, there will be a free flow of being able to get into the center. If the traffic is queued up past that section, yes, then the traffic will have to wait until it clears to be able to get in. I do want to make a point with regard to The main entrance that you mentioned going into Safeway, that's a comment that the town has with the developer. That drive needs to be widened because right now there are some site visibility issues and there are some accidents that happen behind the Chinese restaurant, and that's been problematic. Although it's on private property, my office has had to deal with it. So that's one of our longstanding comments for the developer is it has to be widened to eliminate that site visibility problem. The last one, which has been bantered around, I think, a few times, is the creation of the traffic in front of the store. Well, the fact of the matter is we have an open parking lot here. And from a town's perspective, looking at this purely from an engineering perspective, there are current entitlements. Whether those entitlements will ever come to fruition or not, those are many more times the traffic that would go through there. This development would decrease that traffic by quite a bit, but the problem with parking lots and the problem with this entire development, whether it's developed as commercial or it's developed as residential, is it's an open parking lot. By definition, an open parking lot has uncontrolled traffic. It doesn't take and channelize your traffic to go from point A to point B. What'll happen is that people will find the path of least resistance. Some people will travel in front of the store, but there's a lot of pedestrian traffic. There's a lot of friction there. There's other aisles that are actually going to be better. And honestly, the traffic light will probably be the best place for people to exit from the residential portion if it were to move forward. But again, what will happen is that when that traffic enters the parking lot, and it doesn't matter where the location of the driveway is, they enter an uncontrolled area. So it's going to go, again, it's going to follow the path of least resistance. And I'm not going to try to diminish the fact that there will be more traffic in front of the Safeway. It's a fact. If it's developed, there will be more traffic. The choice is, if it's developed as commercial, there'll be a lot more traffic. And that's not to sound alarmist. It's just what the entitlements are. If it's developed as this residential product that they're bringing forward, they've stated, they've run the numbers on it. And again, these are national statistical numbers that we use for engineering. We find they're conservatively high, but they are what they are. And that's what we go off of in order to do this modeling. So I think all right. I addressed all of them.
Mr. Keeser, we have time for a couple more questions, and I want to get to people who haven't had a chance to speak yet. So, ma'am, if you want to ask your question.
Yes, my name is Vicki Dupre, and I'm one of the 9 houses that border the property. And I was wondering why the other Avila properties in town are Santa Fe, which would lower the height of the building.
Sure. So the main difference there is that those were developed by the original Avila company. Next Metro has different architectural designs, but still single story, and they still all stay under that 18-foot maximum.
All right, thank you, Mr. Olin. And if we can have Cynthia Carr unmuted.
Hi, yes, thank you for taking my call. I've been hearing tonight that there is admitted traffic congestion and problems at this intersection, and I'm not understanding the math of how to improve upon that. We would rezone to a high density situation. I live in Horizons since I've lived in Rancho Vista. So this is the third time that property near or adjacent to my home has been rezoned, and every time it's gone to higher density. And so I've heard the statement from attending these neighborhood meetings many, many times, unfortunately, about the pad being originally developed to accommodate more homes and residences, and that it's only 2/3 density. And that number has never changed in all the meetings that I've attended for over 10 years. So as they continue to rezone to higher density, I don't see how it could not have changed, that it continues to still be just 2/3 density. So some of the math that's been presented isn't making sense to me. And, you know, just another example of that, in terms of the misleading statements, I feel like the presentation I appreciate, The illustrations that show the grading with the lower level, I think if that is in fact what they would actually do, given the situation, if it does move forward, good that they try to respect the neighbors a little bit in that regard. However, in the past, with my experience, when they've presented rezoning to the properties adjacent to my home, they've made similar statements in these meetings where they said things like, oh, this new neighborhood going in north of Horizons is going to have homes very similar and of the same spacing and density as Horizons itself. And if you look at what actually got developed there, that's not the case at all. The homes are much closer together and crammed in, and it's not comparable to the Horizons neighborhood that we're in now. So I'm just appreciative of like the presentation. I just am very doubtful and trusting a lot of the way it's presented as being so nice and beautiful and positive for the community. The statement regarding the town council and everyone needs to do what's best for the entire community as opposed to just this Horizons development, I would argue that this particular rezoning and this particular location is very impactful to all of Rancho Vistoso because this is the bottleneck of the entrance in and out of the entire community. So it isn't a matter of just the concerns of the neighbors right at this particular location, but it does in fact impact a larger audience and a larger group of the Oro Valley community as a whole. So my questions are along the lines of, those are some of my concerns. Certainly, obviously the concern that everyone has shared about the traffic situation, very concerning. I have a young high school student, they'll be learning to drive soon, so I'm very worried about the safety. I do have a question about the open space and the diagrams that were presented. It was stated that for the residential zoning, you have to have 30% of the property is open space. In the diagram, particularly for the east version of the artist rendering, it doesn't look to me just by visual interpretation to be 30% open space. I'm just wondering if the parking lot is what's being considered as open space, or parking spaces part of the open space in that calculation?
All right, thank you, Ms. Carr. So Mr. Olin, can you please explain how you reached the open space, the 30% open space requirement?
Sure, thank you. So as Ms. Oden explained at the beginning, the requirement in the PAD is that HDR zoning, high density zoning, have 30% meaningful open space. And so this site has more open space by definition, but we've worked with staff to trim out a lot of areas that are really not meaningful or contributing to the overall open space of the center. So to answer the question, none of the parking lot is counted, for example. Nothing paved is counted. The only things that are counted as open space are landscape buffer yards, amenity areas, linear connections that have a sidewalk that do provide pedestrian connectivity, because those will also be landscaped. Those are all meaningful, but a lot of the spaces in and amongst the parking areas were not counted, but we do meet the 30%.
All right, thank you, Mr. Olin. So to wrap up the evening, I know there's still some questions, but we are at 8 o'clock. I do want to discuss the next steps for this project. So the next step for this project is for consideration by the Planning and Zoning Commission. That will be a public hearing, so notifications will be sent out. Please make sure you sign in at the front, or if you're online, email ask@orvalleyaz.gov to be added to that notification list. I also, again, want to encourage you to go to ovprojects.com to bookmark the webpage for this project. Again, it will have the meeting summary from tonight, a recording of tonight's meeting, as well as the presentations. And I know we didn't get around to second questions, and there's still some questions and comments. You could also email those to ask@orovalleyaz.gov. And again, staff and the applicant will be here after the meeting should you want to ask your questions then. But I want to thank you all for coming out tonight and for staying a little bit longer so we can get through some more questions. Thank you.